engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, the love of Christ impels us. Once we have come to the conviction that one died for all, therefore all have died. He indeed died for all, so that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him, who for their sake died and was raised. Consequently, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even if we once knew Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him so no longer. So whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. My soul is thirsting for you, O Lord my God. My soul is thirsting for you, O Lord my God. O God, you are my God, whom I seek. For you my flesh pines and my soul thirsts, like the earth, parched, lifeless, and without water. My soul is thirsting for you, O Lord my God. Thus have I gazed toward you in the sanctuary, to see your power and your glory. For your kindness is a greater good than life. My lips shall glorify you. My soul is thirsting for you, O Lord my God. Thus will I bless you while I live. Lifting up my hands, I will call upon your name. As with the riches of a banquet shall my soul be satisfied, and with exultant lips my mouth shall praise you. My soul is thirsting for you, O Lord my God. You are my help. And in the shadow of your wings I shout for joy. My soul clings fast to you. Your right hand upholds me. My soul is thirsting for you, O Lord my God.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia. Tell us, Mary, what did you see on the way? I saw the glory of the risen Christ. I saw his empty tomb. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early in the morning, while it was still dark, and saw the stone removed from the tomb. She also ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Mary stayed outside the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she bent over into the tomb and saw two angels in white sitting there, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken my Lord, and I don't know where they laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus there, but did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" She thought it was the gardener and said to him, "Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you laid him, and I will take him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Stop holding on to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brothers and tell them, I am going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went
and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and then reported what he told her. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. You will notice, friends, that we said the Gloria at the beginning of this Mass. That's one of the signs that today, liturgically, the celebration in the Catholic Church of St. Mary Magdalene is at the level of a feast. The different celebrations we have each day have different degrees of solemnity or degrees of importance. And this one, St. Mary Magdalene, who has always been on this day honored by the Catholic Church, this day a few years ago was raised up in the level of importance. It wasn't always a feast. Now it's a feast. Just like when we celebrate one of the apostles, St. Matthew, St. James, St. John, those are always feasts. Now St. Mary Magdalene's celebration is raised up to the same level. Why? The Church today wants to emphasize a few key points. That Mary Magdalene, a key figure in the Bible, as we know, in the New Testament, brings home to us. First of all, that mercy of the Lord. You know, it was thought for a long time, and many would still hold, that she is the one who wiped Jesus' feet with her hair after she cried. She washed his feet literally with her tears, dried them with her hair, anointed them with oil. But more clearly, as far as who Mary was, this person from whom Jesus had cast seven demons, she loved him because she was forgiven much. She stood by the cross. At the cross of Jesus, there stood Mary, his mother, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene, together, of course, with John, the beloved disciple. And then the little touch of Easter that we have today, she goes to the tomb that morning. And she decides to stay there and to pray there and to weep there. And then she sees the risen Lord. Not only does she see the risen Lord, but she is then made the apostle to the apostles. Now, apostle means one who is sent, from the Greek word for send. The apostles, called by Jesus, and sent to preach the gospel into the whole world. Mary is a difference, of course, because she does not have the apostolic ministry, the holy orders that a priest, a bishop, bishops who are the successors of the apostles have. She does not have that because that is not given to females. But Mary, nevertheless, is sent, and she is given this incredible, marvelous, central message to share with those apostles who are gathered in that room wondering what is going to happen. I have seen the Lord. He is risen. He's ascending to the Father. He's alive. The apostle to the apostles. And then the apostles would bring this message to the whole world. That God gives that task to a woman reminds us that even though in the practice of the ages and the practice of the church, the ordained priesthood is not given to women, and that's because Christ is the bridegroom of the church, so the priest is representing the bridegroom and the church is the woman who is the bride. Nevertheless, that doesn't mean that they have any less share in the proclamation of the gospel. No, that doesn't mean that at all. Women have a key role in the proclamation of the gospel, and Mary Magdalene shows that very, very clearly. But the proclamation of the gospel is also the proclamation of testimony. Mary had a testimony to give.
I have seen the Lord. Now, at first, she saw the Lord but didn't recognize him. Where have you laid him? She's asking Jesus where they laid Jesus. And isn't that the case with all of us in our spiritual journey? So many times the Lord is right in front of us. We don't recognize him. We're not ready to recognize him. Our faith isn't strong enough. We're distracted. Maybe we're too focused on our own grief. But he's there, right in front of us, right next to us, right inside of us. Mary finally does recognize him. She has a testimony to share of her personal encounter with Jesus and the Jesus who set her free from sin. If he set her free from sin, and her testimony to the world is, look at the power of God in forgiving sin, in setting us free from its oppression, in liberating us from its despair. That testimony emboldens others to seek that same mercy, because we all need it, there's no question. Our sins may be different, different in degree, different in number, doesn't matter. Sin is sin. We have all done it. We all need his mercy. And the Lord doesn't get tired of forgiving us. We get tired of asking him for forgiveness. But Mary is meant to show to us today that the personal testimony that she can give of having been set free from sin and then given this marvelous calling to be the apostle to the apostles, this testimony is meant to inspire the rest of us. In our day, there are a group of women and men, children too, and other family members, who are silent no more. Alveda King, who works with us as a pastoral associate of Priests for Life, is actually one of these Silent No More members. You may know her and have seen her in the media, but you may not know that she, early on in the process of our work, joined as a member of Silent No More because she had two abortions. And the members of Silent No More are silent no more about their sin. See, sin brings shame and it brings the temptation just to remain silent, but the people of Silent No More, which is one of the projects of Priests for Life, together with Anglicans for Life, is to give these people the opportunity to proclaim from the rooftops the mercy of God. And so what we have is a movement around the country where people who have sinned, and sinned greatly, some of them that not only have had, well, they've had abortions, but some of them have had multiple abortions. I even have ministered to someone who had 25 abortions. The people who are coming to the Lord for forgiveness, and many of them come to Rachel's Vineyard, which is also a ministry of Priests for Life, they know how far they have fallen, but they know that the mercy of God, there is no limit to it. And so these men and women have found that mercy just like Mary Magdalene did, and they know that the God of mercy is also the God who calls and sends. Speak to the world about how good I am, so that those trapped in their sins may know that they can be set free as well. If someone can hear one of these moms, and we also have the dads, because fathers commit the sin of abortion, even though they don't have the procedure on their body, they commit the sin in their soul when they choose it, when they force it, when they want it. That's a sin. They make it happen, or they pay for it, or they cooperate, or they drive the woman there, or whatever, all the different ways that they cooperate. When men commit the sin of abortion, and therefore they have to repent of the sin of abortion. When these men and women share publicly, as we enable them to do online or in rallies or sometimes in government hearings, the wrong they have done in abortion and the mercy they have found in Christ, then somebody else listening to them, first of all, if they themselves have been involved in abortion, they'll know, you know, it's not the end of the line. It doesn't mean your life is over. It doesn't mean God has forsaken you or that we in the church or the pro-life movement have forsaken you. No. It does mean a tremendous evil has been done, cannot be denied. Reparation needs to be made, yes. But there's new hope. There's new life. There's a future still. Take hold of it. And others listening that have not committed the sin of abortion but have all kinds of other sins can find the hope, can find the strength to say, I may not have done what they did, but if there's mercy for them, maybe there's mercy for me. Maybe if they're being welcomed back to the church after having committed abortion, maybe I'll be welcomed back to the church after having committed the sins I did. Let the feast of Mary Magdalene today renew that confidence. And let's listen to the voices of the Silent No More campaign. Go to silentnomore.com and listen and read and watch these inspiring, riveting testimonies, and proclaim his mercy. I have seen the Lord. This is what they are saying. I have seen him. I have touched him. I have experienced him. I know that he sets us free from despair, grief, darkness, death. He told Mary to rise up and go share the good news. We have encountered the same Lord. Let's share that same good news for the salvation of the world. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.